This is the preface and introduction for the book, Leading with Trust is Like Sailing Downwind, for the LeaderGrow webpage. Preface. We are living in a time when trust has been shaken. Trust in our elected officials, trust in our financial markets, and trust in business leaders all have been undermined through the scandals and mismanagement of the past few years. We need to turn a corner and begin rebuilding rather than continually destroying trust. My passion is growing trust. I enjoy helping leaders understand the nature of trust more deeply and guiding them to achieve it in their environment. My first two books focused on the issues of building trust in organizations and in online communications. This book was written to introduce a new model for achieving trust and describe pragmatic approaches for leaders to enable rapid growth of trust within organizations. As I add another leadership book to the massive heap of works by thousands of authors through the ages, I have an eerie feeling. Has everything that can be written about leadership already been written? I think not. That would be as ridiculous as Charles H. Duell's infamous statement when he implored President McKinley in 1899 to abolish the U.S. Patent Office because, quote, everything that can be invented already has been invented, unquote. Reaching the edge of leadership knowledge is as impossible as reaching the edge of the universe. Instead, as authors, we ponder that infinitesimal slice of leadership universe that we can actually observe and try to make a contribution to the science. Maybe someday our attempts to understand the mysteries will enable us to break free of our own gravity and visit other worlds of leadership knowledge. In the meantime, it's important to continue studying what we can see and documenting what we learn. Millions of individuals have read the thousands of leadership books published each year. Readers ponder countless magazine articles on leadership each month in everything from the National Enquirer to the Harvard Business Review. They buy DVDs or sit in all-day seminars in every city every week. Think about this. At the instant you're hearing this passage, there are likely more than 5,000 people listening to consultants or speakers tell them how to be better leaders. Amazingly, with all this training, the state of trust continues to slip and good leadership is getting harder to find. If there has been so much focus on leadership development, why aren't we making more progress toward better leadership and higher trust? The increasing complexity of daily life in organizations is a pretty good excuse, but I fear in the hubbub we have lost our ability to model some common sense principles. Trust can be improved by applying a new model for achieving it. I will demonstrate that reinforcing candor is the heart of creating trust. It is not easy to deliver a difficult message, and even harder to receive one. What is most elusive is the ability to make people feel glad when they have given you a difficult message. When leaders reinforce candor, people feel it is safe to share the things that bother them, whether on a day-to-day basis or in a crisis. This book was written to illuminate the perceptions about leadership that create troublesome loops of logic and cause too many ulcers in people. When most people think of highly successful leaders, they conjure up images of near-perfect people who work incredibly hard and have almost perfect knowledge. They have a tremendous batting average at doing things the right way because they are brilliant thinkers. Successful leaders rarely make interpersonal gaps due to their highly developed emotional intelligence. Most incumbent leaders think, if only I can be more like those people and be more perfect, then I will rise to the next level of leadership. Other authors have debunked those notions with contrarian points on what true excellence in leadership is really like. My contribution will concentrate on my own observations about the dichotomy between the Reader's Digest version of true leadership and what actually works when leading people. Leadership excellence is in the reach of any competent leader who is willing to have the courage of vulnerability while building an environment of trust. This is not a research book. I have not hired 20 MBAs and done 10 years of surveys chronicling leadership effectiveness to the third decimal place. There are no t-tests in this book. Instead, I seek to provide an easy read about the things you can observe and actually do for yourself today, born of many decades in the study and practice of leadership. Some of these concepts may sound odd at first, but when you think of them carefully, they make more sense than conventional wisdom on leadership. It is a messy world, and for every rule we can invent, there will be so many circumstantial or individual exceptions to that a rule seems implausible. So it is with the ideas in this book. Exceptions will be legion. No leadership observation is true in every situation, although these ideas will hold true for most leaders most of the time. If you want a book where all points apply in all situations, stop reading leadership books and pick up a math book. Introduction. Leading with trust is like sailing downwind. The analogy for my title comes from the sport of sailing. I'm not a sailor myself, but it is easy to observe the difference between sailing into the wind and sailing downwind. In fact, you can do either, but the techniques, effort, and results are dramatically different. Let's list some of the distinctions. When sailing upwind, the only way to make forward progress is to tack, not going directly into the wind, but at a slight angle, so only part of your velocity vector is actually in the direction you wish to go. You go back and forth across the water and make steady, albeit very slow, progress towards your goal. Tacking is not only difficult physically, but it requires great skill and knowledge. World-class racing sailors will tell you that in order to be a winner, you need to be nearly perfect with all decisions and actions while tacking. Bertha Calloway described tacking as follows in Motivation. There are times when you can't move directly towards your goal. There might even be times when the only course of action might be so far to the left or right that it might feel you're not making any progress at all. Accept the situation and keep working toward your dreams. You'll get there eventually. If tacking is slow and a lot of work, sailing downwind is the opposite. Here, the wind is pushing the boat in the direction you already want to go. Your speed toward the goal, in all but the lightest of winds, is many times faster than it was when tacking, because your entire velocity vector is in play, and you cover much less distance in total. Greater speed and shorter distance equal faster realization of the goal. In addition, sailing with the wind is almost always easier than tacking upwind. You sit back and steer, letting the wind do the work instead of you and the sailors. When tacking upwind, the crew is forced to sit grouped together along the rail, providing needed weight to counteract the heeling force of the wind against the sails, and often getting soaked in the process. In downwind sailing, crews are sitting more comfortably on deck, enjoying a drier ride with the boat more flat. The premise for this book is that the best leaders have found a way to configure their world so they get to sail downwind most of the time. Sure, there are times when they need to tack for a while, but 90% of the time, they're steering their ship and sailing downwind. We will explore how great leaders are able to accomplish this remarkable feat. The wind, in my analogy, is trust. If you have a culture of high trust, you are going downwind most of the time. In low trust environments, leaders are forced to go upwind. The alignment of your destination relative to the prevailing winds depends on how well you have mastered the ability to generate and maintain trust within your organization. Understanding the nature of trust as the driving force for good leadership leads directly to a profound theory of how to leverage that knowledge to make leadership easy rather than difficult. Good leadership is easier than poor leadership. Everyone knows that good leadership leads to superior results. Unfortunately, many people believe that the leadership in their organization is marginal at best. They also believe that being a good leader is more difficult than being a poor leader. I intend to demonstrate clearly that the exact opposite is true. Along with better performance and lower stress at work, outstanding leaders have more fun, make more money, achieve a better balance in their lives, and live longer than marginal leaders. So why doesn't every leader want to become one of the so-called good ones? In fact, all leaders want this. Can you imagine any leader with a desire to be lousy at it? Some leaders assume they are respected just because of their position, and that is the greatest obstacle to their growth. Many leaders feel leadership greatness is difficult to obtain for a variety of reasons. Here are a few. 1. People look up to great leaders in history as icons of success through incredible sacrifice and discipline. Their level of personal commitment strains our current boundaries of credibility. Who among us is willing to die for the cause or to prove their heroism? 2. Many still believe in natural leadership. If you don't have certain traits in your DNA, it is not possible to excel at the characteristics necessary to become a great leader. 3. The odds are against any particular individual, since good leadership is so rare. If only 1 in 1,000 is outstanding, what are your chances? 4. Great leadership seems to require nearly infinite knowledge and skill. The complexity of variables, especially in the hypercharged environment of the 21st century, is pretty scary if your idea of good leadership is doing everything right. 5. If you attempt to develop an empowered culture and fail, you have anarchy or chaos. There is no way to gain and regain control. And failure creates a real mess that can last for years. 6. The weight of responsibility can be scary as well. Everyone in the organization looks to you for their future security. If you fail due to inadequate leadership, you will let everyone down. This book will discuss these myths about leadership and several others as well. We will explore the flawed logic behind conventional wisdom on leadership issues and substitute an alternative viewpoint that is so simple many people may believe it's naive. Yet historically, if you can uncover a truth that is as basic and uncomplicated as breathing, it can have incredible power to explain how things work because it really is how things work. In the coming pages, I reveal a simple philosophy of leadership. Of course, it will not apply in all cases because the world is full of chaos and leaders come in all shapes and sizes with an incredible diversity of talents and abilities. The variety of situations calling for leadership is infinite as well. However, the concepts in this book may help debunk some stereotypical thinking. If properly understood and applied, these ideas can take a lot of pressure and drudgery out of the practice of leadership and can bring back the joy and love of leadership, which is why most leaders got into that vocation in the first place. Imagine choosing to be a physician because you had a life calling to help people who were ailing. You put your heart and soul into studying for over 10 years of your life. You really enjoy the doctor-patient relationship and the gratitude in the eyes of a mother when you hand over her new baby. But then things start to morph as the political and legal realities set in. You find yourself having to shell out close to $200,000 a year for liability insurance. The HIPAA and PIPAA laws make you sick with bureaucratic paperwork that takes your mind and hands off from the dream. You become a robot of the rules, disillusioned about the profession in general. Now imagine how you would feel if you could vaporize the distraction and simply go back to helping people. Consider yourself once again as a country doctor who visits people in their homes with a little black bag of healing remedies. If they are seriously ill, patients can still get fancy treatment in a hospital. But what most people need is someone who can treat their wounds or make them feel better and more comfortable while their magic body heals itself. Imagine the joy and freedom you would experience by that transformation. In medicine, there is no way to roll back the legislative and litigious clock to more simple days. But in leadership, there really is a way to remove the mental clutter that complifies daily life. Complifies is a word I've coined to mean the opposite of simplifies. Yes, there are going to be emergencies and legal entanglements, such as the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. But the essence of raw daily leadership can be vastly unencumbered for people who learn and use the principles in this book.